In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take what we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it to my father or my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. One of the things that we want to learn here, well, there are two really important points that govern the whole of the interpretation of the life of Samson. The first is that in many cases, Samson is moved by such a prophetic influence that he is doing something that perhaps might be considered lawful for him in some consideration, but would be unlawful for others. Now, we accept this kind of distinction all the time, although many times we don't think it through, we don't quite understand it. But there are always ways where we understand a different application of the law of God to different members of society. You've heard me say it. I mean, one of the easiest examples is if two of us are driving down the street together, one in one car and one in another, and you're breaking the speed limit, and I force you to the side of the road and pull you over and write you out a citation on a piece of notebook paper and hand it to you, you would understand that rightly to be an unlawful act on my part. But there are people to whom the law applies that it would be unlawful for them not to do that. So let's be careful. There are things that Samson is authorized by the Lord to do here. Although we might still see in a kind of right understanding, I think, that we would see that while Samson's goals may have been acceptable, his methods were often unacceptable. And let me just say what I mean by that, that as a Nazarite to God from the womb until the day of his death, he had particular requirements upon him. And as we watch Samson here in chapter 14, we watch him violate several of them. And again, this is not to commend Samson. There are some things about what Samson does that are certainly commendable, and the prophet here is careful to commend him as these things being from the Lord. And then we might look at other things, the method of Samson's proceeding, that is not commendable. Remember that ends and means both belong to God, and that we cannot pursue a holy end by an unholy means and consider ourselves guiltless. Okay? So with that, with those two things in mind, it becomes easier, I think, to understand what's going on here. So the first thing that Samson does is he goes down to Timnath and he sees a Philistine woman there and he says, "Ooh, I like her. I think I want her to be my wife. There's something about her that I really like." And so Samson has violated that first precept of finding a wife, and that is what? You want to find a godly one. Well, she was a daughter of the uncircumcised Philistines, and I don't think we're selling her short when we say that she was probably an idol worshiper. Okay, so that's a problem, that Samson would choose a woman based on what? She pleaseth me well, rather than she pleaseth the Lord well. So this is a problem. We want to make sure that when we choose out our mates, we choose them. Children, I hope you're listening to me. Those of you that are yet unmarried, that we choose based on godliness. This was the most difficult problem that plunged the world into a particularly thick darkness in Genesis chapter 6. So, Samson does that same thing. But now notice that there is a mitigation of Samson's choice here, in that it was from the Lord, because he, that is Samson, it was from the Lord that Samson sought an occasion against the Philistines. The Lord had stirred up Samson against the Philistines, but we might, while we may rightly say that his method was not good, it was of the Lord that he was stirred up against the Philistines. So that's the first thing. His father and his mother, they do the right thing. They encourage him to the right. They say to him, this is a Isha Zerah, right? A strange woman, a forbidden woman, outside of the authorization of the Lord. This is not one that we should be choosing for you for a wife. And Samson says, "Go get her. She pleases me." So not much discussion there on the part of Samson, although there was a godly encouragement on the part of the parents. Parents, you get the message. Make sure that you rise up faithful in the instruction of your children, like Mr. and Mrs. Manoah did here. All right, so notice in verse 4, his father and mother knew that it was of the Lord that he, Samson, sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. All right, so then they went down to Timnath, and when they were entering the city, Samson apparently was separated from his parents, and there was a lion there that came out to approach him, and it says that he tore the lion to bits with his bare hands, just like you'd do a baby goat. Pulled it apart, tore it to bits. This speaks of Samson's great strength. It says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And this, we will find out, is truly the secret to Samson's strength, to his ability to his efficacy as a judge, that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him at key times during his life. This is one of them. And so he tears the lion and he leaves its carcass lay. He did not tell his mother and his father. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And so he returned to take her, and he beholds the carcass and notice the bees have set up shop in the carcass of the lion, and they're making honey. Samson reaches into the carcass of the lion, and as soon as he does that, he violates his Nazarite vow yet again in touching something that is dead. And so he reaches in and he grabs honey and he gives it to himself and he gives it to his parents. His parents were unwittingly made unclean by the honey that Samson gave them. And so he had little regard for their estate as well. Those estates of tactile holiness in the Old Testament were sacramental to a church underage that spoke to them about what it meant to be a people separated unto the Lord. So this is not just a dietary rule. It is a dietary rule with a spiritual import. And so to neglect the dietary rule is also to neglect its spiritual import. And that's the difficulty with Samson's actions here. All right, so then they made the feast, and Samson, it seems that Samson is pretty full of himself. I think that a fair representation of Samson over these chapters is that in some sense there is some hubris there. There is some overconfidence. And so he's got a riddle, and he thinks he's going to prove that riddle out and get himself 30 new changes of raiment and 30 new bed sheets. And so what happens? Well, he learns that loyalty that is divided between these nations, that perhaps it was not a good thing to choose this woman because she eventually gives up the riddle. And so he is moved in anger, not to keep the bargain that he made, but to go down and kill 30 Philistines and take their stuff and give those to the 30 that had come down. And so Samson is, remember, he sought occasion against the Philistines and he found it. So if you go looking for trouble, even though it was of the Lord, notice that the method that he employed, that if you go looking for trouble, you can generally find it. That would be a use that we'd make, although there is a prophetic influence upon Samson that we do not have. And then notice one more thing here, that he left the town, and when he left, his wife was given to his companion, as an act of, kind of an olive branch. He took one of the Philistine men, a company of the 30, and drew him near to him as his quote-unquote best man, as the companion of the groom. And so the wife that Samson had thought to marry was given to her, to him instead. But notice that Samson always had designs upon her. And so next week in chapter 15, we'll begin to see that Samson returns to Timnath in the time of wheat harvest to visit his wife with a kid and to take her back to his home. And so one thing is for sure, that while Samson may have had a bad procedure here, that he did not denigrate the office of marriage in his eyes, he still thought, this is my wife. And it is only upon talking to her father that he finds that she's been given to another. And then that occasion that he sought against the Philistines is, if I can use this word, maybe some of you will know why I use it, it's inflamed at that point, right? But we'll see that next week. Thus ends the reading then of Judges chapter 14. Let's stand and continue praising.